Thank you, Lord. Just remain standing just a moment. Everybody okay? You feeling all right? You happy to be here? Tomorrow night is Thursday night's great offering night. It's our custom, like we always do. Having said what we just said about the scripture that after a godly sort, I want to make very clear that Phyllis and I personally have no expectations of anybody individually or thinking about what somebody might do or not do. I don't know what people give in the church. I don't know who might be tithing or might not be. I don't want to know. And I do not want any of you to feel like there's some kind of an expectation from us or some kind of pull for you to do something big or bigger than you did last time. Please, that is not true. That is not the right thing. I know all of you have other things that you're involved in and other things that you're doing, and things change from year to year. We don't want anybody to do anything other than what they believe the Lord directed them to do at the time. Are y'all with me? This is going to change. Now, obviously, if we read something, I'll know what you gave, and I'll shout with you. I'll celebrate, whatever that is. And a number of people say, well, don't read name, and so we don't. And that's fine. But am I making it clear enough? There is no unspoken pull, huh? And you know, after it's over, I forget real quick. I'm on to the next thing. I'm thanking God. I'm shouting, but I probably would not know whether what you gave relative to last time or any of that. I'm just happy that somebody gave. Thrilled. Happy. And I don't know what you have and what you don't have, which is why we read some of the smallest amounts and we shout over them, because it could be the two widows' mites. We don't know. Right? And so what the Lord said, what the Spirit of God said through Paul, that God does not want us to give grudgingly or out of necessity. That means you feel like you have to do something. You know, I've been in situations before where you can tell people expecting you to do something. I detest it. I said, I detest it. If it's not of your free will and you want to do it, it's not a real offering. God loves a cheerful, happy, wants to do it, glad to do it. And that's all in the world we would want to receive. It's something that's want to, glad, happy. Right? Is that okay? You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Glory to God. I'm a happy camper. Got so much to be thankful for. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you receive some more tonight? I know we've taken some extra time, but you combed your hair and washed your face. Might as well get the whole thing, right? I mean, right? Get the... I was in another group years ago, and the bishop called me after I spoke, and he said to the people, he said, the young man, this was years ago, he said, the young man has brought the message. eat the whole roll. I thought, amen, eat the whole roll. Eat the whole roll. Well, let's give you some more roll here then. We've been talking about this week, the previous two nights here, and if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go online and watch or listen to them. From my perspective, there are several times I'm getting revelation while I'm speaking.
Yes, yes.
I did not figure it out. I did not study it out. There were times I wanted to stop and write it down. And I believe that's the answer to prayer. Yeah. Our prayers, your prayers. And so I encourage you, take advantage of that. Go online, watch it, listen to it. And we're building on that tonight. And we're talking about from our main text in 2 Corinthians 6 and 10. Verse 11, for time's sake. He said, "Oh, you Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, and our heart is enlarged." Two things. Our mouth is open. I believe we'll be talking about that, maybe not tonight, but before the week's over. Our mouth is open to you. And our heart is enlarged. Now, that word means to widen and to broaden. The heart of human being, and a believer particularly, is an amazing thing. We already saw in Ephesians 3 the last couple of nights, the believer's heart is capable of receiving all the fullness of God. You can see why Brother Smith Wigglesworth used to say, "I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." He was aware of that. He had tapped into that. For one thing, the Holy Spirit's inside you. He's big. He's really big. And he's inside you. So, spiritual things are not restricted to material limitations like we're used to. You might think, well, there's only a few inches between front and back and side to side. There's infinite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unlimited.
Yes.
Why? Well, God's in you. He's not limited. Unrestricted. But there's an aperture of our heart that we are in control of. And we can respond by opening our heart and receiving, or we can harden our heart and restrict and close. And that's not God's doing. Now, he'll help us if we'll respond. He'll even help you to open your heart. But he won't make you do it. It's up to us how we respond. Can you see that's what he's telling them? Verse 12, you're not straitened, and that means closed in, narrowed in. You're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. And that's not their intestines and stomach, your insides. That's King James for your insides. And he just got through talking about the heart. Verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto as to my children, be ye also enlarged. This is a word the Holy Spirit spoke. And I believe he's speaking it to us this week. Be enlarged. Where? In your heart. In your heart. In the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, if you look over there, he's talking more about it. Just a few chapters later, 2 Corinthians 10:12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's a dumb thing to do. But how many people are still comparing themselves with people around them that they see? And it's a mistake. It's a foolish thing to do. When you're tempted and when you find your mind or your thoughts going that direction, just stop and out loud say, don't compare.
Don't compare. Thank you, Lord.
Because what the enemy's trying to get you to do is measure yourself against them to see if you're doing better or worse. And the thing is, you don't know how they're doing. You don't know what God gave them, how that compares with what He gave you, and you're trying to compare two very different people and different calls and different, maybe different places in the call. It's just a dumb, dumb thing to do. And can allow the enemy to play you and trick you, discourage you, is usually how it winds up. Either proud and I'm way ahead of them, or discouraged and I don't even compare, I'm not doing anything compared to them. Lies, either way you go, but the Lord already told you, don't do it.
Don't
do it. I'm going to go over it again real slow. The thoughts come to you.
Yes.
And see, you can start doing it without really planning to do it.
Yeah. Right. Come on now.
But when you realize it, help me out. What do? When you realize it, stop. Open your mouth.
Yes.
And say what?
Don't
compare.
Yeah.
Don't compare your life. Don't compare your spirituality. Don't compare your faith. Don't compare your prosperity. Don't compare your ministry, your business, your marriage, your faith. Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Don't do it. Help your neighbor out. Look at them. Say, don't do it. So say, okay. He goes on to say, we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. What is a measure? A measure is a way to get an idea of the scope of something. Well, he just got through talking about, what was it, the sixth chapter, be enlarged. Well, that means the scope increases. The breadth increases. So then he says, not boasting, verse 15, without things without our measure in other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. What you see is Paul is practicing what he's saying.
Yes.
He's saying, I don't compare myself with other people.
Yeah. Right.
And I watch that I don't get into their business.
Yes.
That's good.
Amen.
And intrude into another man or woman's call or place.
Yes.
Or try to take credit for what somebody else did. No, I'm running my race. I'm in my course. But when my faith is increased, we shall be enlarged. And then we'll reach beyond where we have reached.
Hallelujah.
Is that God's will for everybody? To enlarge, to increase, and to reach beyond. Now, so many times when you start talking about these things, especially ministers tend to go off just in two areas.
Yes.
More people, more money.
Yeah.
That's a restricted, narrow concept.
That's good.
Amen.
That's actually the results.
Yes.
Some of the results of the enlargement that had to occur first.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Hmm? Your prosperity doesn't start in your bank account.
That's right.
Hmm? Your healing doesn't start in your body. Y'all with me or not? We're spirit beings. God is spirit. Hmm? But what do you say? Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd what? Prosper and be in health. But there's a connector.
Even as
your soul is prospering. Well, your soul's part of your inner man. So the increase starts inside. Come on, say that loud. The increase starts inside. So if you're looking out here for the increase to start, you're looking at the wrong place. And you just cannot see. That's why he started off with talking about don't compare.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our works are going to be tried by fire.
Yes.
Now, that's not to see if we're saved or not.
No.
We're saved because of what Jesus has done,
right.
Period.
Amen.
Not by works. Lest any man should boast. It's by faith, by grace, through faith. But that's not the whole thing. There is reward. Eternal reward for being obedient and fulfilling your call and plan. But when the fire tries the works, the scripture said if it was wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be consumed. Whew. But if it was precious gold and jewels and metal, it'll just be refined and shine and gleam and remain. Well, what is the wood, hay, and stubble? That stuff the Lord didn't tell you to do. That stuff that was done in the flesh. Man's idea. Well, what's the gold and the precious jewels? That's the things that were done by the direction of the Spirit, by faith, in obedience.
Amen.
Hmm? Why am I saying this? There's going to be some things that were quite large and quite well known that's going to go whoosh. Because the Lord didn't tell them to do it. It's quiet in here. Is that in the Bible is what I'm talking about? In the Bible? And what are we saying? You don't know. You may look at something and it looks big and shiny and you think, man, they're putting everybody to shame. You don't know that. You don't know what God did or didn't tell them to do. Besides that, it's none of your business. Leave it alone. You best get busy doing what you can do with what you have. Making sure you're not doing a bunch of silly stuff in the flesh to be seen of men or to try to get some money or some accolades or whatever. No, it's praying, seeking God, hearing from God, doing what He told you to do. And pretty soon your life will be over. And when your works are tried, you will be a happy camper. When there's something left after the fire tried it, that'll last forever. Because the Lord did tell you to do it. And you did it in love. You did it in faith. You were obedient. And you saw it through. And you were faithful. And it'll last forever.
Amen.
Reward that lasts. And fruit that remains. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, when your faith is increased, we will be enlarged. Said out loud, when my faith is increased, I will be enlarged. Now, go with me to Romans, the 4th chapter, please. Romans chapter 4. Are you hooked with me tonight? You believing with me? The quicker we get it, the quicker we move. The slower we get it, we keep having to go back over things. And it takes longer. I know, you know, the flesh gets tired. But the Holy Spirit quickens.
Yes.
Romans 4, and this has been one of our favorites, you know, in faith circles, about Abraham and how that he acted like God and he called those things that be not as though they were. It's wonderful to see what he did, how he did. Notice in the 19th verse, Romans 4:19, being not weak in faith, and you'll see in this passage what is weak and what is strong, faith. Being he was not weak, he considered not his own body now dead. That's when you see weak faith is when you're considering the problem. Looking at the problem, thinking about the problem, talking about the problem. Doesn't mean you're just completely defeated, but if you're thinking about that more than what God told you, that's weak faith. And he didn't do that. He considered it not. He looked at it, but he thought, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Somebody need to hear that now. Oh, it's there. We're not denying that it's there. Huh? He's old. Sarah's old. She couldn't conceive when she was young. That's not fantasy. That's reality. But doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So why consider it? If it doesn't matter. The devil can't bother you with a thought you won't think. These thoughts just keep bothering me. Why do you keep thinking them? If you say, well, I can't help it, that's a lie. That is not true. keep reading. He did what? Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, don't listen to this like you've heard it 100 times. Is there light here you hadn't seen before? This is tremendous. Back up to the 20th verse. He what?
Staggered.
Staggered not. Now put up Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. Anybody read this before?
Yes, sir.
We're going to find it. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, whoever will say, and see our text talked about our mouth is open. And our heart's enlarged. It always goes together, the heart and the mouth. Okay. Whoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not stagger in his heart. It's the same word translated stagger in Romans 4. Okay. Shall not what?
Doubt.
Same word translated stagger. And it means to waver, and it also means to back off of. If you won't stagger at it, but believe, let's look at the rest of the verse. You won't stagger. So why would he say that unless that's an issue? It say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, but shall not stagger in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is true. This works. Every time.
Yes, amen.
People say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. No, it tried you. And you came short. No. Jesus said this. These are his words. They are right.
Hmm?
So if he says, if you'll say it, he didn't just say, if you'd say it, it'd come to pass. Y'all with me or not?
Yes, sir.
He didn't just say it and it'll happen. Hallelujah. No. Takes more than saying. You got to not doubt where?
In your heart.
See, that's what we're talking about this whole week, about something happening with our heart. Don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe where? In your heart. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe in your heart that those things which you said will come to pass. You will have whatever you said. So this being true, where's the enemy going to hit you to try to keep this from coming to pass? He and all his cohorts are not just going to stand on the side and watch you bleed for everything in the world and advance the kingdom of God while they do nothing. Because every advancement you make in the kingdom of God is casualties on their side. They're losing ground. They're losing people. So, what will he endeavor to do? What will his cohorts and his spirits endeavor to do? Through suggestions, temptations, ideas, thoughts, feelings, confusion. What? Get you to doubt or to stagger. Stagger. We need to keep looking at this word stagger. Same word. Go back to Romans 4. Romans 4, where he said in verse 20, that Abraham what? He didn't stagger at the promise of God, because that would have been unbelief. Right? But he was strong in faith. No staggering. Can you see this?
Yes.
And how'd we know he was strong in faith? Because he wasn't trying to figure it out or wonder about it or question it. He just started glorifying God and giving praise to God for it. Can you see this? Now, we talked about this last night. You know, we looked at that little clip of the galaxy. Let's stir you up at all. That's just our galaxy. That's not the universe. And the vastness of it, and that's what God did with Abraham. He said, he took him outside. And he said, look up in the night sky. And like we said, I believe God made it an exceptionally clear night. And maybe even boosted Abraham's vision some. Helped him out. And he said, look at all of the stars. See, can you count all the stars? You got to see it.
Yes.
Your faith has to be hooked to something. Yeah. Your faith has to have a focus.
Yeah.
That's why God's got him out there.
Yeah.
If this wouldn't have been important, God wouldn't be doing this with him.
Right.
If he didn't need it, he wouldn't be doing this. He said, can you count all the stars? See, can you count them? Oh, Lord, I've lost count 3 or 4 times now. He said, that's how many children you will have. Now, what would be the immediate temptation? To look at this and go... And to even literally physically go, whoo, which is what?
Staggering.
Not just staggering physically, staggering at the idea of it. Staggering at the vastness of it. He has no idea. They don't have a single child between the two right now. And getting old. Already old. And you're going to have this many children? Because it had already seemed like that he and Sarah would never have a child. Now we're saying, how many? 1,000? No. 1,000,000? No. 1,000,000,000? No. 1,000,000,000,000? No. See, to this very day, we're going, whew, that's a lot of kids. And the reason Abraham is in the book. Oh, come on, y'all going to help me with this. The reason he's in the book, he looked at all that. Did he understand all that in his little brain? No, he didn't, but he just said, God, if you say it, if you say it, you are well able to do it. You made these stars. And if you say that that's what will happen with me, then I believe it. I believe it. I don't have to understand it. I'm not staggering at it. And I believe the Father smiled. Because faith pleases Him. And He counted before the law, before Moses, before the prophets, before the gospel, before the cross. He looked at his friend and said, you're righteous in my eyes. Why? Because of his faith. No staggering. No staggering. Have you ever staggered before? I'll help you with that. Yes. You have actually staggered many times. Will staggering interfere with what you're saying coming to pass? Yes, it will. The same idea is in James, where he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, right? Goes on to say, he that wavereth, don't let that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Staggering is disqualifying.
Yeah, it's good.
Staggering prevents results. Staggering is doubt. It's wavering. It's our enemy. It's how the enemy will try to get to you to prevent you from your miracle, from your provision, from all the things that you need every day, living and walking by faith. Go with me, if you would, to, what is it, 1 Kings, I believe it is. Thank you, Lord. Actually, 2 Kings, my mistake. 2 Kings, chapter 7. Said out loud, no staggering. You need to make your house a stagger-free zone. You need to make your church, your ministry, is that right? Your business. A what does that mean? It means when God tells you something, you don't let it blow you away. You don't cause it to shake you, and you go, oh, I just don't know. That's staggering. It's not faith. It's the wrong response. Now, we've already talked about this. The psalmist actually said, I will run the way of your commandments, Psalm 119, when you have enlarged me. And we talked, I went into some detail Monday night about how Phyllis and I, looking back now, God had to work on us, getting word in us for, what was that, first 2 or 3 years before He could even talk to us about the ministry. Because I know Phyllis, we had just gotten married, and I just a few months or something, but we were praying more and drawing close to God. Didn't know anything about, at this point I'm talking about now, nothing about the Hagans or the Copelands or faith group or none of that. And I remember one night praying, it came up in my heart about that the Lord might want me to pastor. That this is back in 1977. And I thought, I mean, that was the first time that thought had ever crossed my mind. And I thought, no way. No way. And for, I couldn't sleep. Because I thought, is he really dealing with me about that? Because all I knew was any church that I had ever been exposed to. And I didn't know anything about what we learned about faith or redemption or any of those things yet. And I just, I tried to think about doing it and me being able to do it. And it scared me and it shook me and I staggered. I couldn't sleep that night. I kept thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. No, I couldn't see. Are you all listening?
Yeah.
I couldn't see myself doing it. Couldn't see it. If you can't see it, you're not in faith.
Amen.
If you can't see it, you can't be it. If you can't see you doing it, you can't do it. That's what the Word does for us.
Thank you, Lord.
So I was so shaken, staggering.
Yeah.
Huh? Are y'all with me now?
Yes.
Did it shake me? Did it?
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah.
That was not my trajectory. I already had a trajectory.
Yeah.
I was going to be a sport fighter. I didn't know Scripture. I didn't know the Bible. I knew hardly anything about God. It didn't appeal to me. I staggered. And about daylight, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, son, relax. He said, it's not right now. By the time you get there, I'll have you ready.
Amen.
Just cast the care of it over on me. And it was 20 plus years. So I was freaking out over nothing. Don't laugh too hard.
Okay.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What would have been a faith response to that? What was Abraham's response? Okay. You say it?
Yes, sir.
I believe it.
Yeah.
You say you can do it?
Yeah,
I'm fully persuaded.
Yeah. Good.
You are well able.
Yes.
That's faith.
Yeah. That's good.
I said, that's faith.
That's faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Staggered not.
Yes.
Somebody say staggered not. Staggered not. Now in 2 Kings, did you find it?
Yes.
2 Kings 7, the God's people have completely backslid. And man, they are judgments coming. And in this particular situation, the city's been besieged and nothing to eat, and people are starving, and it's an awful situation. And 2 Kings 7:1, Elisha, the man of God, heard from God. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, 24 hours, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. A shekel was one coin.
Wow.
And two measures, that's a goodly amount, of barley for a shekel. In the gate of this city, Samaria. Now you got to understand the situation. People have been eating the leather off their chairs. People have starved to death. It is a truly horrible situation. And the man of God says, tomorrow, mark your watch, tomorrow, at this time, food will be dirt cheap in this city. You can buy all the food you want for one shekel. Now, what would be your tendency? Huh? To stagger? Huh? And a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God. He, you know, there are times you should be quiet. He said, behold, we'd say, look, look, if the Lord made windows in heaven, might this thing be? Now, this is classic staggering. Come on, are y'all listening to this? This is staggering. What is it? You got to be joking. I mean, if God opened windows of heaven and poured it out, could it even pass? In other words, he's saying, ain't no way.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no way. No way, no how. That is unbelief. Because that's his response to thus saith the Lord. That's his response to what the Lord said. See, Abraham could have done that. He could have looked up in that vast night sky and he could have said, I don't see any way. That could ever happen. You don't have to see the way. God's not asking you to figure it out or understand it. Hmm? Is everybody awake?
Yes, sir.
Anytime you hear something that sounds astounding to you, and I want to touch on two words here. I hear people in our circles using the word incredible and fantastic. These are not good words for us. Are y'all with me? Incredible means not credible. Credible means trustworthy and believable. So when you say it's incredible, technically you're saying it's not believable. And when you say it's fantastic, I know that sounds good in our vernacular, but the root word's fantasy. That it's not real. We're better off using Bible words. Especially if it's got anything to do with believing. Right? I'm not trying to nitpick. I believe these are worth talking about. I don't use them. I don't use them that way. I'm not going to say that's incredible because I know I just said that's unbelievable. And I don't believe that. I believe all things are possible with God and with him that believes. But if you hear something that just sounds so far and so big, it just sounds like crazy talk, before you start shutting it down, just stop and say, could God do it? Are y'all awake? Now, you're not having to judge whether they actually heard from the Lord or not, or what he told them. But before you jump on the bandwagon and going, oh, ain't no way, ain't no way. That's just crazy. That's unbeliever staggering talk. And you want to get away from that. That does not need to be a response of yours to anything. So just pause just a minute and go, could God do it? And again, you just have to go, he could do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He could do it.
Yeah.
Now, whether he told them that or not, I don't even have to judge that. But before you get all worked up and you start harping about, ain't no way that's going to happen, you need to remember this guy right here and what happened to him.
Yes. Thank you.
He said, if the Lord made windows in heaven, might this thing be? In other words, ain't no way that's happening. Because people are starving to death. And not only would there be plenty of food, but it would be cheap. You could get it, big amounts of food for tiny little amount of money. He said, ain't no way that's going to happen. And the prophet looked at him and said, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't eat any of it. It does not pay to get mouthy with your unbelief. Does it?
No, sir.
And you know the story of the deliverance that God wrought for them. And how there was all this supply just outside, but the angels ran the enemy off and defeated all the enemy. And there was just food everywhere. And in a day. Everybody say in a day. In a day. Things can happen so radical in a day. In a day. It can be like another world. Like another life. In a day. Not what you can do, what he can do. And so the king stationed him when all that food was found out about. Man, there was this mad dash out the gates and grabbing the gates and grabbing the food and coming in. And so the king gave him the job of controlling the gate. Next thing, he sees all this food coming in and they run over him and kill him. So he saw it, but did not enjoy it. Now, this thing, windows of heaven, you ever heard that before?
Yes.
Windows of heaven. A lot of times we think of, like a window that you could raise up, a little bitty thing. And that idea is included, but what's the word? The Bible said in Noah's time, God opened the windows. And they were actually floodgates that inundated the planet with water that got so high it covered all the mountaintops. Well, now that's not a little 2.5 by 3. Huh? Floodgates. But either way, it's an opening in heaven. In Genesis, put this on the screen, Genesis 28 and 12. Jacob dreamed, and he saw this in a dream. Behold, a ladder, some translations say a staircase, some kind of conduit, was set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And what was happening, angels of God were ascending and descending on it. He saw that. That was not just some fantasy he had, or it wouldn't be in the scripture. He saw traffic between heaven and earth going back and forth. And the Lord told us, he said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. This is big. Keys of the kingdom? What is that? Not keys to the kingdom. Keys of. This is how the kingdom operates.
Yeah, that's good.
Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why would you care? Because God supplies us in the earth with his riches in glory. And there is traffic, angelic traffic, from heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. It's going on all the time. Now in Malachi 3, anybody remember Malachi? Malachi 3 and 10, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Most of the church does not tithe. Many, many, many ministers don't tithe. It's a fact. And I'm not upset with you if you don't, but I'm convinced you're missing out on some really big things. We tithe. Our churches tithe. Our ministry tithes plus offerings. A couple of years ago, the Lord said this to me, and it's a revelation that has absolutely changed my life. And I mean, one of the biggest things that's happened to me in 50 years. I didn't expect it. He said, Keith, you don't properly respect what's called the Old Testament. Now that surprised me, because I thought I did. In my own mind, I thought maybe I respected it more than some other preachers did. I was wrong. He said, Keith, you think the Old Testament is a secondary word to the New Testament, and in some cases, irrelevant to today. He said, it's my eternal word. It never changes. It'll never be done away with. It's eternal. And I repented and began to look at things anew and begin to see what he's talking about. And he showed me in Romans, at the end of the third chapter, where he said the law is good and it's right and just and it's holy. And he went on to say, do we do away with the law because of faith? He said, God forbid. No, we establish the law. And Jesus said, if anybody changes and doesn't teach the word and the law, and he said, they'll be counted least in the kingdom of God. But those that do will be counted great. Can you see what's happened? Is the enemy has in effect made some 60% of the word of God irrelevant to many church-going people. And if you read the New Testament, they're continually quoting what we call the Old Testament as the Word of God.
Right,
and you can tell the writers are talking to you like you know something about all of these things. So when people say, well, tithing is Old Testament and tithing's the law, tithing's the Word of God.
Yes.
And Abraham tithed long centuries before there was any kind of law or any kind of commandment. He did it. Why? Not like he was paying a bill or trying to get some kind of protection from God. He did it out of honor. Come on, y'all, listen to me. He's just honoring his creator, his provider, his protector. And why did he know to give a tenth? He had no book, no law to tell him to give. Why a tenth? Why not 5%? Why not 20%? Because it's always been 10. Now, you can do what you want to with it, but don't try to tell me it's passed away, because I've read the scriptures too. And I'm very happy about how blessed I am. I'm very, very happy. So don't mess with my blessing. Don't mess with me. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat or food in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not what? Open you windows of heaven and pour out blessing that there shall not be room enough. You see why your heart needs to be enlarged?
Amen.
Room enough to receive it. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. I mean, anytime we have something that's, you know, being tore up or is too new to be worn out or broke or anything like that, I mean, Phyllis immediately goes, we tithe. The devourer is rebuked. For our sake. Next thing you know, it's either working again or something happened and the money was spared.
Amen.
Now, if you don't tithe, can you claim that?
Nope.
Should we put God first in every area of life? Well, should we put him first in our finances?
Yes.
How much? Now, if you say, well, I just believe in being led. Me too. But if you're consistently doing less under this new and better covenant than they did, you're not being led.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's not about doing something for us. It's about honoring God.
Yeah.
Honoring God.
Honoring God.
But what, listen to the language. I'll open windows of heaven. Somebody say windows.
Windows.
Windows of heaven. That's not just a tiny little aperture. That's an opening. Now, what we require in this world and in this life is the operation of the blessing. What did he say he would pour out? Look at it again. Put it back up for us. I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out what?
A blessing.
A blessing. Now the enemy has effectively confused people about what blessing even is.
Right.
And it's been reduced to a little statement when somebody sneezes. God bless you. What's wrong with that? You got to watch about saying things till it doesn't mean anything to you. Blessing is power. Power that creates. Power that empowers. Power that produces favor. Whatever we need in our provision in the earth. God's not printing U.S. currency in heaven. Or pounds or yen or whatever it is in your country. The money you need's down here. The stuff you need's down here. The buildings, the lands, the vehicles, the computers. It's all down here. How do we acquire it? You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth. That power is blessing power. That's what it is. It's blessing power. Blessing power, it goes so many directions. When God created everything that He created, then what did He do? He blessed them. He said, be fruitful, multiply. That's not just a word of encouragement. That is divine creative power coming out of Him through His words. And it is not a curse. It's a blessing. It brings life. And it multiplies one into many. It's miraculous. And so God's plan is that as we believe Him, we look to Him, we seek Him, we ask Him, He hears us, and He brings us a word. And He says, I'm going to bring you so much food. I'm going to bring you so much money. I'm going to bring you a building. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you that. And tell me what's got to happen next. No staggering. Y'all with me or not? What must happen next is that you say, Lord, if you say it, I believe it. I believe it. And so if you do that, the angels in heaven go, give me five. And here they go. And when you honor God with your tithe, when you honor God with what He says to give, when you honor God with your words and your praise and your worship and your faith and your obedience, He has every right over your life from heaven to go here. And angels are sent on missions with blessing power to influence and work for those who are heirs of salvation, to influence people to give and to help and to agree. It's blessing power. It's blessing power. It must be sent. It must be received. Now here's the thing. Let's go back to this other story. No doubt, the man of God, the prophet, had prayed. People are starving to death. This is awful. No doubt he had prayed. And then God says, I got you. I'm going to turn this thing around in 24 hours. I'm going to bring so much fruit, food into here. It's going to be dirt cheap. Anybody can eat all they want. How did he accomplish that? Angels. He sent angels. Is that right? He sent angels to defeat the enemy, conquer the enemy, to absolutely level every opposition. Huh? So that they could just go get it. And then when he announced, he said, go tell the people what I told you. So the man of God comes and says, thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow. It took faith for him to say that. Right? By this time tomorrow, there will be so much food here that this, you know, a whole measure will sell for one coin. Or two measures of barley for one coin. And then this guy speaks up and goes, if God opened windows of heaven, he didn't know he was speaking prophetically. In his ignorance, God had already opened apertures and sent angels in power and blessing to affect the flow of all the food they could ever want right into that city. He said, basically, there's no way. He staggered. He doubted. He questioned. He's basically mocking. And the man of God says, you'll see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat a bite of it. Why? Oh, is everybody awake? Are you awake? God pours out. But you can close your heart. And no matter how much he's pouring out, if you close your heart in unbelief, you won't receive one bite. Can you see that? His heart was hardened. And a hardened heart is an unbelieving heart. And an inflexible heart, not open. Not believing, not receiving, and sadly, there are millions of people on this planet where God's concerned, they're just like that, steel trap. They won't listen to a word, they won't hear any of it, and here's the sad thing, God would pour out blessing on them until they couldn't able to contain it all, but if you won't open them to receive it, you won't be able to have any of it come into you. Or affect you. It'll be all around you, but won't get in you unless you open your heart in humility and trust. Are you listening? And obedience. And if you're a smart little cookie, when the Lord says, I'm pouring out blessing on you till you don't have room to receive it, you'll do just like your father Abraham. You'll look up and go, okay, I'm getting ready. Okay. Let her rip, Lord. Let her pour. Let her pour. Enlarge me. Let her pour. Let her pour. Let her pour. I believe. I receive. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Woo, somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Woo, thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift your hands. Oh, thank you, Lord. We prayed this prayer first of the week, but there are some that weren't with us. Let's pray it again. Oh, Lord. Enlighten my eyes and my heart and enlarge me to receive your fullness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Give some praise. Give thanks in the Spirit. O sacrebine, O lavringeros, alam prampantitoniende, gizno. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Oh, I thank you, thank you, thank you. The Bible said when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. This kind of working and increasing and enlarging the Holy Spirit can help us with. So the rest of this week, take some time and get quiet. Sit in your chair and lay across the bed and just say, Lord, enlarge me. And start praying in the Spirit. And have that on your mind, that the Lord pouring out His blessing in your life and you being able to receive more and more. And it's not just for you. The more you receive, the more you can give. The more you can help other people. Everything you receive is ultimately to help give to somebody else too. Thank you, Lord. Altar workers, would you come to the front? Anybody?